I want to mention a couple missionary requests. Praise the Lord. They did have 31 in the services of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Theka on Sunday. That was a blessing. We continue to pray. They need to see really their first genuine conversion there in the church in Theka. That's really the breakthrough that is going to make the difference for them to have a real church. Thank the Lord that they did have they have some people who seem to have greater interest in spiritual things, and we rejoice in that. My wife and I will be taking a trip to Kenya April 18th to the 27th. Pray for us. We are mainly going to minister to the missionaries. We will have a series whatever you call it, Bible studies or Bible messages that I'll be sharing with them and their families, trying to connect with them and trying to connect, to have their families connect with us. So be praying about that. Pray for the work at Dodge Kinesia as they continue to have visitors constantly and people professing salvation. Pray for the growth and pray for just the growth of the core families there. And pray for Capital City Baptist Church in Budapest. They continue to have Sunday morning and Tuesday night prayer meeting services. They continue to get people off the street. Pastor Jim said in all the years they were in Page, they don't ever remember getting anybody from a street invitation to come to church. Yet in Budapest, everybody that comes is somebody they've met on the street. And so continue to pray. A lot of obstacles for the many, many blessings. There's hundreds of difficulties. So pray for those young believers in that place. they just... I think Friday they met a man from Sri Lanka that was a pastor, and he was so persecuted in Sri Lanka that he got a religious asylum in Hungary. He is preaching there in Budapest and looking for a church to send people that he leads to the Lord. So kind of an interesting situation. But to be praying for the work of the Lord. Nathan just had their first meeting a week ago, and now they're scheduling a number of meetings. So be praying for their meetings as they raise support for South Africa. Let's turn our Bibles to Book of Hebrews. if you think I'm going over the same things over the time, it's probably because it hasn't sunk in yet. And I'm trying to let it sink in, or finally get what it says. But as one of the great messages of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ, in the process of showing that Christ is superior, far superior to angels, a great theme is introduced about Christ's future kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us about Christ's future kingdom. it says, verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up," or as a a garment or a piece of clothing. Thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Notice the Bible tells us that the earth shall wax old as doth a garment. Well, if you pay attention to the news, there's plenty evidence that the earth is getting old. It's wearing out. Earthquakes in diverse places, etc. So many things that point to the decline of the earth. And the Bible tells us that the earth will wax old, just like, you know, you wear a piece of clothing and after a while it wears out. Well, the earth is wearing out. And there will be increased activity to show that the earth is wearing out. And but the Bible tells us, if you turn back to forward to 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, because this earth and the present heavens will be dissolved. For 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The context is verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. According to the plan of God, we know that the next event that's going to take place in prophetic history is the rapture, in which everybody that is saved is going to be taken up to heaven with the Lord. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the earth then will be judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. That's called the tribulation period. And that will be followed by 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. And, of course, we read about that 1,000-year reign of Christ in Revelation chapter 20. Why don't we turn there for a minute? Revelation chapter 20. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is speaking about the future reign of Christ on this earth. But that reign of Christ will be followed by a dissolving of this present earth and the heavens. The heavens of our atmosphere and the heavens of the stars. And the Bible calls that the new heaven and the new earth. And in 2 Peter, the Bible is talking about that because we know these things are going to be, he says it ought to affect the way we live. It says, verse 10, it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? You know, the Bible tells us the future. And, you know, you say about certain people, they live like they're going to live... This is facetious. People, you know, they say they live like they're going to live forever, speaking about the physical, okay? A lot of people live like they aren't going to die. You know what I'm saying? And on the other hand, the Bible is saying the opposite. We ought to live like we know what the Bible says is going to take place in the future. And so, in this tense, it's saying we better not live for this earth. We better not live for the lifestyle of this earth. We never better not live for the wicked ways of this earth, because this earth is going to be burned up. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Now, that's a little bit of the context of where we are in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews talks about the future kingdom of Christ. And it says in Hebrews 1, it says, they shall perish, verse 11, that's the heavens and the earth. But thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. The old earth and the old heavens, they will be dissolved. And but thou art the same. All these events are going to take place, but Jesus Christ will remain. He will remain. He will not change. He will still be the God, the Son, the ruler of the heaven and earth. And it goes on to say, it says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now he's talking about here, he's talking about the salvation of the people of God. He's talking about that day in which all the enemies of God are subdued. And the people of God inherit the blessings that God has for them for eternity. That future event in which Christ's future kingdom takes place. So he's talking about two things. He's talking about Christ's eternality never changes. Secondly, he's talking about Christ's kingdom, that all enemies will be put under his feet, that he will reign and the people of God will be in the place of the blessing that God will give all his people. And he's saying this in the realm of, number one, the angels. This wasn't said to the angels. This was never said to the angels. This was said to Christ. Now, as a result of the fact that Christ's destiny in the world to come What does he say? The fact that Christ will rule, that there will be a new heavens and a new earth, that the elements shall, all these things of this earth will be dissolved. Here we have these Hebrews who are beginning to minimize their thoughts on who Jesus Christ is. And so he says in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, he's talking about drifting. You know, people drift. They drift away from the truth. You know, it isn't a sudden bolt from the truth. It's a little bit by little bit drifting. And the Hebrew Christians had a the Hebrews he was talking about, they had a problem of that's described in Hebrews 5. It says that they were dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. Notice what it says, verse 11 of chapter 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. What does it mean to be dull of hearing? You know, dull of hearing means, you know what? I heard that before. That doesn't impress me. You know, I know that. I heard that. No big deal. The truth of the Bible does not prick their ears anymore. And you know that there's many different cases of that. But you know, as a pastor, I see people, they're at a stage in their life where they hear the Bible, and boy, their ears are perked up. They're listening, and they're making decisions. And sad to say, many times you watch people, and as time goes on, they come and they hear the Bible, and you can tell it's not doing anything. They've become dull of hearing. And what is the problem? The Bible says that the problem is there's a danger now of drifting. Drifting away. Drifting away to a point of no return. You know, it's kind of like a boat. Drifting out, you know, a little bit, by a little bit, by a little bit. And then it gets caught in the tide of the sea, and it's gone. And he's talking about the danger that that they need to be aware of. You know, here's a great truth. And, you know, this is really true today. You know, many people know prophecy of the Bible. They know that Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth. They know that He is the ultimate victor. And, of course, after a while, it kind of loses its power. And they just kind of, well, you know, they get caught up in everyday life. Now, the Jewish people, they were getting persecuted because of their faith in Christ. They were being persecuted by the Jews, people who believe the Bible. And they were thinking, you know, wait a minute, you know, maybe we can just kind of put Christ aside and not put so much emphasis on Him, and we can still worship God as a Jew and follow the Old Testament. And Paul is saying, you know, you've lost focus. Who's the ultimate victor? Jesus Christ. You're going to abandon Jesus Christ? You know, everything is going to change, but Jesus Christ is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't dare turn your back on Jesus Christ. You don't dare turn your back on, in a figurative way, being on Christ's side, because He is the ultimate victor. And so he says in chapter 2, he says, therefore, because of Christ's kingdom, that he is going to reign, all enemies are going to be put under his foot. He is the ultimate victor. Therefore, because he will last eternity, and go back early in the chapter, his identity is greater than any other. He says we ought to give the more earnest heed, not less. Not less. Not make these things of little value. And then it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now this is talking about the Old Testament law. And the law was given by angels. And when people broke the old covenant, there was immediate judgment, wasn't there? Now it says, that's the old covenant. What about the new covenant? If the word was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape? Well, what is he saying? There isn't any escape. Obviously, there's a very nebulous presentation. There is no escape. But what does that mean? That's a good question. There isn't any. Whatever that means, there's no escape. You know, I remember Brother Sanders was here, evangelist, and he grew up near Eau Claire area. He was saved as a teenager, and he grew up raised by, after he got saved, by a Christian family. Went to a church, Calvary Baptist in Eau Claire, and told about how he got called to preach there, and how they had revival meetings and people got saved. And this is years ago when he came, 20, 30 years ago. And he would talk about the people up at that church, up at Calvary Baptist in Eau Claire. And I said to him, hey, what's that church like today? I mean, some of those same people are there when you were there and you got saved and you grew up there and you got called to preach and had revival meetings. And I says, I don't know if I ever heard about that church. I don't know if that church really has revival meetings anymore. I don't ever hear about, you know, God doing anything in that church. I don't hear about people being saved in that church. I think that's kind of a weak liberal church now. He says, yep, it sure is. And he says, some of those same people are there that were there when he was a teenager. I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. He says, I say they just fell asleep. Did you ever fall asleep? Did you ever fall asleep spiritually? You know, that's kind of easy to do, isn't it? If you've ever, yesterday I was reading Psalm 73. And I've studied that psalm real well in the past. And I was reading through that psalm and I just stopped in about the middle of it and says, wait a minute. I just read 16 verses nothing clicked. I know what it says, but nothing clicked. You know, I wasn't really very spiritually alert at that moment. I was just reading. Sometimes people come to church and they're sleeping. Literally. But sometimes people come to church and, oh, by the way, who was it? I should tell the story. Should I tell about Aunt Marge? Aunt Marge was here Sunday night, and we all closed in prayer. And as we were closing in prayer, she looked up. She said to Becky, he put them all to sleep.
<Thank you, Mark. laughs>
She was awake, though. But we can be spiritually asleep. That's what it's talking about. The truth, we're letting it slip. And our life is not being ordered by that truth. And we won't be able to talk too much about verse 3. It says of chapter 2, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" This great salvation, specifically in the context, is talking about not only being saved and brought into God's family, but by the fact of the ultimate salvation in which all the enemies of God will be subdued and Christ will be ruling and He will be the center of the new heavens and the new earth. This great picture of life. Now, he's saying, do you want to abandon that? You want to abandon that? You want to put something in front of that? In this case, a little bit of persecution. You're going to let a little bit of persecution cause you to take your eyes off of what is really going to happen? And that's a good question. You know, most of us that are here know that we should be living for the future. But the big problem is we're constantly tempted to live for today. I was just thinking of a situation, and I was going to say to this person, I was going to say, "Hey, this person that is influencing you, and you're trying to be like them. Are they saved?" And I'm sure the person will say, "Nope, they're not saved. They're going to hell." And yet, this person is letting that person who's on their way to hell determine what they're doing in their life right now. That's not good thinking, is it? And of course, we're getting the picture of what is the ultimate end of all things. And the ultimate end of all things really changes what we do today. The choices we make. The decisions, the lifestyle we live. Are we living in light of what eternity holds? Think of that verse in Matthew. If we confess Him, Christ, before men, He will also confess us before our Father, which is in heaven. But if we deny Him before men, He will deny us before the Father in heaven. And every day, every one of us will stand before Jesus Christ. And what we live on this earth is certainly something we ought to judge and analyze and regulate in light of what it will be when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer quickly. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that, Lord, that as much as this world would like to deny the reality of Jesus Christ and the reality of His rule, and of the future of this world, that Christ is the King forever and ever. He has died and risen and is at the right hand of God. Lord, the reality is that is the way it will be. And Lord, I pray that we will live in light of the truth of the Bible, not in light of the inconvenience of life, the words of the scoffer, the difficulty that it might be at times obeying and following Jesus Christ. Help us to live in light of the real future. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.